Support for this podcast and the following message come from Wise, the app that makes managing your money in different currencies easy. With Wise, you can send and spend money internationally at the mid-market exchange rate. No guesswork and no hidden fees. Learn more about how Wise could work for you at wise.com.
Today on State of the World, a window into life in northern Gaza. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Thursday, March 21st. I'm Greg Dixon. The UN says that famine is imminent in northern Gaza. The war between Israel and Hamas has caused hundreds of thousands of people to face starvation. And despite urgent calls for help, aid is only trickling in. To understand what this is like for the people living it, we're going to hear now from three families in northern Gaza who are struggling to find food and water. With reporting from Gaza photojournalist Omar El-Qatta, NPR's Fatma Tanis tells us their stories.
In front of the decimated residential buildings of Gaza City, there are informal street markets where people are selling or trading canned foods, small amounts of flour, and grains. Narmeen Tafish and her five children are at the market looking for something they can buy. But everything is so expensive, and with no jobs, most people don't have an income. They're shocked to see that 2 pounds of rotten-looking potatoes are selling for 40 shekels. That's more than $10. And 2 pounds of rice, which used to be less than $2, is now going for 20. Tafish and her kids turned back home without being able to buy anything. After Hamas attacked Israel on October 7, Israel responded first with heavy bombardment in the north. Narmeen Tafish was stuck. Most of her family were in the south, and her husband was away for work. Tafish heard stories of people being killed while trying to evacuate, so she decided to stay. Now she's the only provider for her family. They haven't received any humanitarian aid since the war began. Her oldest son, Yusuf Tafish, is 14, and he helps his mother by searching for pieces of wood to make a fire, since Israel cut off fuel and electricity.
First there was flour until it ran out. Then we could get wheat, and that ran out. Then corn kernels. Then we tried animal feed. Now my mom makes us a pudding with water and starch, and we eat that.
Tafish says she can't bear the hardship anymore. The hunger is all-consuming. The lack of safety limits their ability to search for the rare aid convoys that come or the airdrop packages. There's no milk, no protein, no bread, no clean water. Her kids constantly cry from hunger, and she sees them wasting away, their eyes sunken, bones protruding. Her youngest boy is 4 years old, and before the war, he was energetic. Now, he spends most of the day sleeping. Tafish says she goes to bed every night in fear of waking up to find one of her children dead. According to UNICEF, acute malnutrition in Gaza has doubled among children under two in the last month. And at least 23 children have starved to death, according to Gaza health officials. Most people in the north don't have access to hospitals. In another neighborhood, Riwa Masoud Saad is staying with her daughters at her sister's house after surviving multiple airstrikes. In mid-November, they were sheltering at a UN-run school when an Israeli airstrike killed her husband and several others. Another airstrike killed her brother. A third one killed one of her daughters. She struggles to find the words to describe the horrors she's seen. In the first 2 weeks of the war, Israel cut off all food, fuel, medicine, and other supplies to Gaza. Then, under pressure from other countries, it has since allowed some aid in, but nowhere near what's needed, according to aid groups. Israel says it's not putting limits on humanitarian aid. Recently, with the collapse of public order in the north of the Strip, it's also been really difficult to get supplies there. And people are now running out of their last resort foods, like animal feed. Nowadays, Saad goes outside and forages for whatever leafy plants and weeds she can find, then boils them, sometimes in seawater, to make a soup just to keep the hunger pangs at bay.
Some of the foods we are now forced to feed our children, may God spare you, I mean the donkeys refuse to eat it. The animal feed is tasteless, it's like chewing on wood, and it's hard to digest.
People are also getting sick because of the unsanitary water. The UN says hepatitis A is spreading, among other diseases. Saad's daughter, Aya Saad, is anemic. The 15-year-old says she doesn't know how much longer any of them can go on like this. If the bombs don't kill us, the hunger will, she says, as an Israeli drone hovers above. She blames Israel and the US for what's happening to them.
This Biden, what is he doing to us? Why has he left us like this? Why has he left us like this?
In Beit Lahia, one of Gaza's most destroyed neighborhoods, 59-year-old Marwan Saleh is taking care of his grandchildren.
We used to eat grass and weeds, but that ran out. Now we grind the pith of dates to make sort of a coffee, and we are eating succulents. They taste absolutely horrible, but we have to eat it to stay alive.
Those succulent plants only grow on the edges of Gaza near the Israeli border where there might be Israeli soldiers. Saleh says he still goes knowing he could be shot because there's nothing else left for them to consume.
Bring us the aid by land in a normal way, not from the air or the sea where people have to clamor and fight for it. Help us in an honorable way, not in a humiliating way.
The world's leading experts on hunger said in a report this week that more than half of Gaza's entire population is experiencing catastrophic food insecurity. That's 1.1 million people. Before Gaza, the worst case of starvation in recent history was Somalia in 2011. That's when 250,000 people starved to death over the course of a year. Experts fear Gaza will be comparable without an immediate ceasefire and massive humanitarian aid effort. Aid officials say there's a small window now to pull back Gaza from famine. For that, they say, Israel needs to open more border crossings, ease the inspection process, and provide safe routes for aid convoys. Palestinians in Gaza are struggling to express their frustration and disbelief at the lack of help. They feel abandoned by the world. Every day, I am dying from malnutrition. All of us in North Gaza are dying, says Riwa Masood Saad. And you just watch us. You just keep watching. Fatma Tanis, NPR News, Jerusalem, with Omar Al-Qatta in Gaza City.
That's the State of the World from NPR. For more coverage of all sides of this conflict, go to npr.org/Mideast Updates. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.
On Wildcard, the new podcast from NPR, you'll hear people like comedian Jenny Slate reflect on their lives. What is something you think about very differently today than you did 10 years ago?
Dressing, like not salad dressing. I've always loved it and I'll never stop. Dressing my body.
That's all part of the new game show Wildcard, only from NPR. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Betterment. Confusing eye contact with a mysterious stranger is never chill. But Betterment is the investing app that lets you be totally chill about your finances. Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. This message comes from NPR sponsor Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.